Amaziah and Uzziah, chapter 105. In the former chapter, we told you that Joash, the king of Judah, was murdered. He was slain by his own servants while he lay seriously sick upon his bed. His son Amaziah became king in his place. Many waited in suspense to know how this sovereign would reign. He began well. In the Bible, we read that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. This was very good, wasn't it? Yes, it is true, but something else is written after those words which is not so good. Do you know what it is? It is this, but not with a perfect heart. Certainly, he worshipped the Lord and reigned according to the laws and decrees of God. But he did not do it sincerely. He did not do it out of love to the Lord, because God is so worthy of it. Oh no, but he served the Lord outwardly for the benefits he received and out of self-interest. Amaziah's purpose was not the honor of God. It was his own honor. Still, the beginning of his reign was good. When he was well established in his kingdom, he punished the murderers of his father. They must pay for their crime with their lives. However, Amaziah did not slay their children. They could not and must not be punished for something which their fathers had done. Although Amaziah did not serve the Lord with a perfect heart, still, he was blessed by the Lord with temporal benefits. Amaziah is sitting upon his throne in his palace. He is thinking seriously. He is making plans, great plans. Peace and order prevail in his kingdom. Prosperity and wealth slowly are returning. Still, he is far from being as mighty as the God-fearing Jehoshaphat was in his day. At that time, the Edomites were subjected to the Israelites. Every year they brought gifts to Judah and its king. After the death of Jehoshaphat, the Edomites revolted. At that time, Jehoram, Jehoshaphat's son, the king who was not desired, tried to subject the Edomites, but without success. During the reigns of Athaliah and Joash, nothing resulted from trying to force the Edomites into obedience. Now that Amaziah reigns, he will try to punish this rebellious nation for their disobedience. They must bring him gifts and serve him as they formerly had served Jehoshaphat. This is what he is thinking about. He wants to wage war. Soon, several messengers are sent out by the king. They must call the people to battle. In a short time, the streets of Jerusalem rumble with the footsteps of many thousands of soldiers. Amaziah has a strong army. It numbers 300,000 men. Still, it is not as numerous as in the days of his father Joash. Amaziah wants to strengthen his army. From the kingdom of the 10 tribes, he hires another 100,000 soldiers to add to his own. In those days, Joash, the grandson of Jehu, reigned over Israel. You still remember, do you not, that this king stood at the deathbed of Elisha? The kingdom of the 10 tribes had a king whose name was Joash, and the kingdom of the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, also had a king with this same name of Joash. So Amaziah is able to hire troops from Israel. This makes his army more numerous and consequently much stronger. At least he thinks so. Preparations are completed for the march toward Edom. But before Amaziah leaves Jerusalem, he receives a warning from a prophet of the Lord. He must send back the army he had hired from Israel. The prophet says, The kingdom of the 10 tribes worship the golden calves. Therefore the Lord will not help you. If these 100,000 soldiers go with you, you will be defeated. Happily, Amaziah takes heed to the word of the Lord and sends back the hired army. They may not go along. The men from the kingdom of Israel return to their own country in great anger. They take this as a great insult. What does Amaziah think? Anger and hatred rise in their hearts against Amaziah and his people. But the king of Judah does not concern himself about it. When all things are ready, he and his soldiers go to battle against Edom. Yes, indeed, Amaziah wins a glorious victory. 10,000 Edomites are slain. Besides, he takes another 10,000 soldiers as prisoners. Upon his command, these prisoners of war are cast down from the top of the rocks into the depths, so they all die. With singing and rejoicing, the victorious army of Judah returns. The king who rides along in their midst glows with pride. He, with his courageous warriors, have won this glorious victory. It never enters Amaziah's mind that the Lord had given him the victory. Oh no, God does not receive the honor. He, the king, must have the honor. Laden with spoil, the army approaches the capital. Among the treasures which were brought from Edom are found several stone images. Upon the command of Amaziah, these are handled with the greatest respect. Whose images are they? And why are they handled so carefully? Why, they are the gods of the Edomites. As soon as Amaziah returns to Jerusalem, these idols of the Edomites are set up. Altars are built, and Amaziah worships these idols. Isn't that terrible? These idols could not deliver the Edomites. And now Amaziah bows down before these speechless stone images. He worships them. How is that possible? Thereby he provokes the Lord to anger. A prophet of the Lord comes to the king and admonishes him. But this time Amaziah will not listen. No, he gets angry and resentfully snarls at the man of God. You must keep quiet. Why do you concern yourself about me? Mustn't I know for myself? If you are not silent, I will kill you. And the prophet is silent, not because he is afraid of the king, but because he notices that Amaziah will not listen to him. He also is silent because he realizes that the Lord will humiliate the proud, haughty, unthankful king as a punishment upon his idolatry. A few months pass. For the second time, a large troop of soldiers go through Jerusalem's gates. Amaziah the king is going to fight again. This time he marches toward the north, to the kingdom of the 10 tribes. He wants to punish Joash, the king of Israel. Punish him? What for? Well, when Amaziah was fighting against the Edomites, the 100,000 soldiers from Israel who had been sent back by Amaziah invaded the land of Judah. They would avenge themselves of the insult given to them by Amaziah. Some of the cities of Judah were plundered by that army. 3,000 subjects of Judah's king lost their lives in this marauding expedition. They were slain by the embittered Israelites from the kingdom of Joash. The destroying troops returned to their own country laden with gold and silver. However, When Amaziah returned from the battle against Edom and heard this, he became furious. He will not let that go by. He will seek revenge, and because of the scorn done him, it will be a bloody revenge. Now that he has defeated the Edomites, he thinks he can also defeat the kingdom of the 10 tribes. He sends this message to Joash, the king of Israel: "Come, let us see one another in the face." What does that mean? Why, it is as though Amaziah says, "I want to fight with you. I declare war against you." However, Joash would warn Amaziah: "Do not declare war, Amaziah, the king of Israel says. Why must we fight each other? You must remain peacefully in Jerusalem. You have fought bravely against the Edomites and have gained a splendid victory. Be satisfied. Why should you fight and fall? Why do you want to bring sorrow and misery upon yourself and your people?" Still, Amaziah will not listen. No, he must and shall fight with Joash. Children, that is foolish of Amaziah. The Lord gave Amaziah over to his own proud heart and foolishness in order to punish him for his idolatry. Amaziah left the Lord, and the Lord will no longer bless and help him. No, the Lord will leave him. He goes to battle against Israel's king. When Joash sees that Amaziah will not give heed to his good advice, Joash goes to meet Amaziah with his army. Soon the battle breaks out. The fighting is fierce. Before it is dark, thousands of Amaziah's soldiers lie bleeding upon the battlefield, and Amaziah is a prisoner of Joash, the king of Israel. He is defeated, and his remaining soldiers flee. Amaziah returns to Jerusalem, his own capital, as a prisoner. For him, this is disgraceful and humiliating. Joash, the king of Israel, triumphantly enters Jerusalem. He breaks down a portion of Jerusalem's wall. He takes all the gold and silver from the temple and the palace of Amaziah, and when Joash leaves the city, he takes many prisoners with him to Samaria. This war had a very unhappy, sad ending for Amaziah and his people. Yes, indeed, pride comes before a fall. Suddenly, the inhabitants of Judah and Benjamin are plunged into the greatest misery because of the foolishness of their king. Therefore, it is not strange that the people of Judah become angry with their king. Few men from Jerusalem consult together and decide to kill the king. They make a conspiracy. They secretly agree with an oath to kill him. This makes it unsafe for Amaziah to remain in Jerusalem. Death lurks for him there. He leaves his capital and flees to Lachish, a city which is situated far from Jerusalem. But that doesn't help him. His adversaries seek him in Lachish, where he is murdered. His body is carried to Jerusalem and buried in the graves of the kings. He reigned 29 years over Judah and Benjamin. He began so well, and later, when he left the Lord, he perished sadly. Children, this was the punishment for his many and great sins. They that forsake the Lord can fear and expect grief upon grief. We see that here. Heavy work is being done in Jerusalem. Strong men carry stones, while others build with these stones. What is being built? The walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down by Joash, the king of Israel, are being rebuilt, so the city will be enclosed by high, wide walls. Even towers are being built upon the walls. The new king strengthens his capital. Who is this new king? His name is Uzziah, the son of Amaziah. He was only 16 years of age when he became king. He was a very young king, wasn't he? But the Lord blessed him. The Lord made him rich and mighty, because Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Uzziah worshipped the Lord and walked in the statutes of God. All that he does prospers. He wages war against the Philistines, the Arabians, and other nations. They are defeated by Uzziah. God gives him the victory. From now on, they must serve Uzziah and bring him gifts. The king orders the walls of Jerusalem to be repaired. He has weapons made for his soldiers, such as shields, spears, helmets, habergeons, bows, and slings to cast stones. These are stored in large arsenals. He has machines erected upon the walls, which can sling heavy stones a great distance. These were a type of catapult. If war would break out unexpectedly, and Jerusalem would be besieged, they could cause great destruction among the army of the enemy with the stones which would be shot from the wall. The hostile armies would be crushed by these stones. Yes, Uzziah becomes so powerful that no nation will attempt to attack him. They would be afraid to do so. Still, weapons are not the only thing he has made. He also makes provision for other things. He has a lot of cattle. He owns large flocks of sheep and goats. He has wells dug for the cattle, so these animals can drink as much as they need. He orders watchtowers built in the desert and places soldiers in them. They must protect the sheep and oxen against the robbers. The king also has extensive fruitful fields upon which wheat and other crops are cultivated. He owns splendid vineyards in which the most delicious grapes grow. Uzziah is greatly favored. His subjects love and honor him. His enemies fear him. And God, the Lord, blesses him. Do you know what is written in the Bible about him? He was marvelously helped. Not only the king, but also the nation of Judah lived many years in peace and prosperity. Why did the Lord bless the inhabitants and the king of Judah and Benjamin? Because the king and the people walked in the ways of the Lord, and the Lord always commands his blessing upon those who do. But when Uzziah became rich and powerful, he became proud and high-minded because of his wealth. He forgot that God had made him rich. Oh, how sad, for God is jealous of his honor. Come, in our thoughts we will go to the temple of the Lord. Azariah the high priest walks about in his splendid clothing. With him are the priests in their white garments who perform their duties. It is very quiet and peaceful. So it should be in God's house at all times, also in our house of worship. Suddenly, someone enters the temple to burn incense. Azariah, the high priest, frightens when he sees this man coming, because he is not allowed to come there. The priests only are permitted to do their work in the holy place. But this man who is now entering the house of God is no priest. Yes, he wears a golden crown. Who is this man? You know the answer, don't you? He is the king. He has come into the house of the Lord to offer. Now that Uzziah has been richly blessed, he thinks in his foolish haughtiness he can do anything. He even wants to offer. Uzziah, you are not permitted to burn incense. Only the priests, the descendants of Aaron, may offer. Azariah the high priest sees this. He notices that the king is coming through the outer court and approaches the holy place. Yes, Uzziah even enters the holy place. Then Azariah beckons to the priests who are in the temple, and together they follow the king. King, the high priest says, what are you doing here? You must return. Leave this building. You may not offer. Are you not afraid of the Lord's punishments? O Uzziah, listen to this warning voice and ask Azariah to pray for you so you will be forgiven. No, boys and girls, Uzziah, who already has a censer in his hand to burn incense, will not listen. He becomes angry. But what happens? Oh, terrible! Suddenly a large white sore appears upon his forehead, a sore which continually spreads and gets larger. Uzziah becomes a leper. Besides, the ground shook and rumbled under his feet. The whole temple trembles. It is an earthquake. These are the signs of God's displeasure and wrath. Uzziah turns pale. He trembles with fear. He feels that the terrible, incurable leprosy has stricken him. Azariah, the high priest, and the other priests get ready to take him and push him out of the temple, for every leper is unclean. He is never permitted to come into the house of the Lord. If the king will not go, they will forcefully put him out. But it is not necessary. Uzziah goes voluntarily. He makes haste to leave the holy place. Oh, he is filled with terror. Now he sees the wrong he has done and how wicked he has been. But it is too late. From now on, he must go through life as a leper, as one who is unclean. He remained a leper until the day of his death. We do not know how many years that was. Are not the consequences of sin dreadful, children? Uzziah is suddenly plunged into the deepest misery. Where is his joy, honor, glory, and respect? It is gone. And as an unclean one, he must live in solitude. Forsaken by everyone, he lives in a separate house in Jerusalem. He may never return to the royal palace. He may not even reign as king. During this time, his son Jotham reigns for him. So his life drags on. Death came, and what awaited him after death? Children, I do not know. God's word is silent about it. He was not buried in the graves of the kings because he was a leper, but they laid his dead body in the earth on the outer side of this burial place. He reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. Oh, boys and girls, if the Lord should bless you later in life, and you may live in prosperity, do not become proud, for the same God who punished Uzziah so severely but not unjustly still lives.